Warning! The following podcast may contain Ebola, peanuts, beer consumption, fishing references, high heat, electrocution, begrudging respect for F Leaf players, moving parts, broken glass, explosives, lasers, non-winning lottery numbers, unsafe working conditions, well-timed jokes, local references that people not from Ottawa won't understand, and brief nudity. You have been warned.
From Studio 65 on the Sens Underground Network, welcome to Season 2, Episode 2 of the Sens Call-Ups for Wednesday, September 18th, 2013. I'm Cardinal, and I'm here with the usual suspects, Pan and Canuck. We're just three normal Canadian lads doing what lots of Canadians do. We're sitting around talking about hockey, usually over pints. Since the trout season is now closed, it means that summer has come to an end, and the hockey season is starting. It's been good to see some of the usual cast of characters back in the forums at sensunderground.com. You can send us an email at podcast@senscollops.com, and you can find us on Twitter. Boys, it's good to be back together. Anything interesting happening for you these days, Ben?
Well, I finally got my Hartford Whalers jersey from Ice Jerseys. I think when I ordered it, they're just like, we still have these on this site? They still have them? So it's great. Like, I love it because it's really one of my favorite logos ever. But I don't know what dregs it they found this out from, because it kind of stinks. And now with the computers on, I'm getting all sweaty and the smell's getting worse. Maybe it kind of smells like the fish or the whale. I don't know.
Nice. Canuck, how you doing?
Ooh, no dude about it. Just some Canadian guys here. Pass me some back bacon. I am having a busy week, but I'm doing well. It's nice to have hockey back.
Indeed it is. Indeed.
Yeah, you know what's great? Because a lot of the feedback that we get either over email or Twitter, and I love it too because this is my stage and I like to talk. But people are actually generally interested in our opinions. This does not happen in my personal or professional life.
No, I know that feeling all too well. Like, yeah.
This is great.
Very true. I'm glad somebody's interested. I think they're more interested in your opinions than mine. I don't think mine are worth anything, but I'll still throw them out there because that's what I do.
And this is what we call Canadian humility, folks.
Exactly. We got lots to talk about. We've got rookie camp and preseason and all sorts of other stuff, so we should get going. But before we start, I just want to take a quick and very serious moment to say that all of our thoughts of the three of us are with the family, friends, and everybody who's been touched by the a rather tragic bus accident in Ottawa today. And I wanted to give a tip of our caps to all the first responders who were there, as well as the bystanders who jumped in and helped out right after the accident happened. I heard of one particular individual who was a lifeguard who just jumped out of their car on Woodruff and ran over and started taking care of people right away. So
Wow. Full
kudos to everybody who was doing that. And hope everybody who's been injured pulls through. Just a little serious note, because it's been a bit of a black day in Ottawa today.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know if we really have a game on. We kind of do. We got preseason. Is that close enough?
I think we should forego the train horn today.
You just want me to yell in your ears?
Yeah. No. We'll skip that bit. Lots to talk about, though. And I know that the first thing I wanted to say, and I know this is really important to Pan, and this is why I put it in my notes that the first thing we had to talk about was that Guillaume Latendresse has actually got a PTO. He's in the Coyotes camp at the moment. So you finally know where he's ended up. He hasn't got a contract yet, but he's at least at their training camp.
Well, is he Guillaume Latendresse or is he unknown?
I don't know.
Did you see that?
Oh, nope. Yeah. Unknown
on the
scored.
Box score?
No.
He got a goal in their first game, and they just put goal by unknown.
Oh, dear.
It's like the poor Rinkinesser.
Go, Coyotes!
Doesn't know how to say his name.
I was gonna
score
say,
by the player in the white.
LeBron, cool.
Score.
No, it's good for him. I seriously think he deserves it.
Oh yeah.
There's gonna be other teams. Like I thought that Phoenix was better than what they were last year.
Well, maybe they're just looking for extra bodies. You never know. Maybe they'll sign him to a two-way.
No, oh, I don't think he needs that. He's a good top nine guy.
If he can find somebody, he'll put him there. Or yeah. He'll go to Europe. Yeah. You never know.
I don't know Phoenix's depth, so.
Yeah.
Maybe we can trade Jimmy O for Guillaume and Rundblad, get them both back.
Okay, if we're trading away Jim O'Brien, we're trying to make space on the roster, not fill it up.
Give you our dead weight for your dead weight.
Yeah. Okay, let's go with that. I like the way you're thinking, though. You definitely got your thinking cap on.
That's kind of like the Brian Lee for what's his face, Gilroy.
Matt Gilroy. Yeah, that worked out well.
Garbage in, garbage out.
Well, it's the way it goes in a lot of worlds. Just before training camp opened, the Sens had their annual charity golf tournament, and there were a lot of interviews that went on that day. Sort of as every player went by a certain hole, there were all sorts of interviews going on. And whenever Carlson was interviewed, I think it was on the radio, but it might have been television. I don't remember because I was watching so many of them through the day. He was asked, how are things now? You know, how's the knee, the leg feeling? And so it feels pretty good. Well, how do you feel compared to how you were in the playoffs? And he said, he was asked, were you at about 60% in the playoffs? And his answer was probably less. That's a frightening prospect that he's playing on half a leg or half the capability of a leg. And he came back and played anyway. I mean, we all knew that he wasn't playing very well, but probably less than 60%. Scary.
Yeah. I think as long as he didn't have a risk for aggravating it, that's probably why they allowed him to play.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're listening back, which I can't do like episode 8 and before. Holy hell. I don't know what the listeners were listening to. We were bad. But yeah, because if he just had to rehab it to regain his strength in the ankle, that's probably why he was thinking that he wasn't at that level yet. But yeah, it's nice to see him actually. Apparently, he's hit the gym this year, right?
Yeah, he's put on some meat. That's for sure.
Yeah,
there was a picture of him from in the sitting down in the market yesterday, and I was looking at him going, "You're not as small as you were before. That's good."
That's what she said.
Well, you can take that up with his wife if you wish. The other comment that I wrote down from the golf tournament was that Milan McCulloch said that his knee is at 100%, and that both the members of the media and even other players on the team were saying that he's looking leaner than last season because he's always been this really solid, big solid guy. He's big, yeah. Big.
But he's always weighing in around 230, if that makes sense.
But he's still pretty quick.
So he had this really weird blood therapy done over in Germany.
Yep.
I have no idea what it does. It's apparently the same thing that Kobe Bryant had done from the LA Lakers.
I don't think it's Health Canada approved, which is probably why he went there.
It's absolutely not.
Yeah. Hopefully it's not considered blood doping. No, seriously, because if it's a blood system, I don't know how they do that. Granted, it's also an Olympic year and he'll definitely be in the running.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that it would be looked into before he went, especially by the team. Say, hold on. If you do this, it voids your contract, that kind of thing. But
he's got some sort of German vampire
Kobe
blood.
Done it too, so.
Exactly. Should be all right. But anyway, he's looking good.
Well, there's stuff that Kobe's done that you probably don't want to do too. So
exactly.
Let's not go there.
Uh-huh. And just before just before the training camp opened, a couple of days before, Colin Greening was signed to an extension. And just as camp opened, Jared Cowan was signed to a new contract. So finally we have everybody signed. And because that was the one that was hanging over the team's team and Cowan's head all summer and into September was not being signed.
Oh, thank you, Cowan.
Glad that
I've
both
got
of those
the numbers here for you too. Well, not here. Just let me bring this up.
got them somewhere.
Of course I do. Yeah. All right. So Greening, obviously this year he's still making 950. It was an extension.
Mm-hmm.
Next year, 2. Year after that, 2.75. Then the last year, 3.2. I really like Cowan's contract. This year, 1.5. Next year, 2.7. Third year, 3.7. Fourth year, 4.5. And he does not have a no trade.
Now, wasn't there something in the new collective bargain agreement that said there was a limit as to what the difference between each year could be?
Yep.
Only on the back end, though.
Oh,
so you can't get your money up front like Alfie's contract?
Oh, okay.
So no, but get, I think year over year can only be a certain percentage difference, though.
Your last year cannot be 50% or less than 50% of your first year. And each year it's like you can't drop more than 10% or something.
Okay, so it's declining.
Really makes it impossible.
It's a declining limitation, not an increasing limitation.
Okay. So with this on a cash flow basis, because this year he's got 1.5, which is not much. And it's a laddered strategy where, like, who knows if Phillips is going to be back. And other guys like that, right? So he can save money up front now and then ladder it out. And I think that's probably something that's going to happen with McCulloch. So now that this is the last of the contracts, I'm pretty much going to mail it in for the rest of the season, guys. No more math to talk about.
As opposed to
talking budgets and
okay.
Oh, I forgot about that. I totally screwed up my math. I multiplied by 7 twice last time.
Yes.
So I posted my work on Twitter and apparently nobody cared.
No. So you got called on it, but nobody cares about it afterwards.
Yeah.
It's all right. The new captain for the team is Jason Spezza, as an awful lot of people expected. Sorry, Russell. And the new assist. Sorry, what was that?
That was the big news of the weekend, really.
Exactly right.
Everyone was waiting for it.
And the new assistants are the same as well, mostly the same as last year, as Chris Phillips and Chris Neal, which, again, what everybody was expecting. So glad to see it. Glad to see that's taken care of. Before we move into, we're not going to do a game recap on all the on the preseason games that have been played so far. I wanted to talk just a little bit about the rookie camp before we get into preseason, because there were a couple of interesting things that happened during the rookie camp. Excuse me. The captain for all the games down in London for the rookie camp was Derek Grant, which, bit of a surprise considering some of the other players who were down there with him, like Jean-Gabriel Pajot and... not sure if Corey Conacher was there, but I mean, there were a lot of big names that were down there. And it was Derek Grant, who's a veteran, pseudo, from the from Binghamton. So that was kind of cool. The first game was a very unusual game in a lot of ways, mostly because Shane Prince had 2 assists, which is good because he's a scorer. And during the first intermission, and Tim Murray did an interview where he called him the most skilled guy on the ice. But in the third period, Shane Prince got into a fight deliberately. Oh, yeah. Like, he dropped his gloves and started pounding on, I think his first name is Andrew Farnham from the Pittsburgh Penguins system. Farnham had already had a fight with Darren Kramer in the first period, and Farnham is the rat of the team. He's the Darcy Tucker or Patrick Kletta, whatever. So Kramer hammered him in the first period, and he was just going over, running around and you know, cheap-shotting everybody, and Prince had enough, and dropped him. Do you have that clip?
I do.
Up in here? Beats Hertzel, it's 2-0 Ottawa. Farnham now takes a whack at Prince, and they're going to drop the gloves.
Oh.
And Prince throwing a couple of shots with his right. Farnham gets his right loose now and lands one. Overhand right, misses from Farnham. Oh, Prince hammers Farnham with a left, and down goes Farnham. Down goes Farnham. Shane Prince takes out the Pittsburgh Rat.
That was awesome. For those who aren't familiar with AJ Jakubek's call of hockey games, he's the guy who does all the Ottawa 67s games. He can get a little animated. But
that sounded way better live than it did that little cut of it.
It was apparently it was quite the good scrap, and he got a standing ovation. Shane Prince got a standing ovation from his teammates when he got back to the bench after sitting in the penalty box for that fight. because it meant a lot to have a guy who is a, he's not the biggest guy in the world, but he is a very talented scorer, to say, all right, you know what, let's go. And he did that a couple of times in Ottawa, not very often, but a couple of times. He was also the game's first star. The game's second star was Derek Grant, who had two goals. And the third star was Troy Rutkowski, who's a defenseman, a puck-moving defenseman, who's a rookie this year, will be down in Binghamton. And Curtis Lazar was voted the hardest-working player. So it was a, you know, all-around 4-1 win was good over the Pittsburgh system, but also the, some players that distinguished themselves very, very well. The other two games of the rookie tournament, Ottawa won over Chicago, but it seems I forgot to write the score down. It was an overtime win. And then the third game...
I think it was like 3-2 or 4-3.
Was it 4-3? Thank you.
4-3 or 3-2, something like that.
Okay. And the third game... the third game was against the Toronto Maple Leafs, all-rookie team, which was a beautiful 6-2 win with two goals from Stone, two goals from Dunn, Vincent Dunn, and two goals from Shane Prince. Vincent Dunn is actually one of the players who's already been sent back to his junior team. He plays for the Hull Olympic, sorry, Gatineau Olympic. I can't call them Gatineau. They're still the Hull Olympic for me. They always will be.
Anyway, well, the thing with that, though, too, is, and Dunn played frigging great in the rookies. Mm-hmm. He just turned 18 last week.
Yeah, very late birthday.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
And he spawned a whole Twitter nonsense there with those two goals within 8 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
They're done.
That was fun, actually.
Wait. We've got a joke going with puns. I'm in.
Yeah.
It was a fun game, though, to listen to, for sure. Now, is there anything else you guys want to talk about the rookie tournament? I just wanted to touch on it briefly because there were some good moments in it.
That that second game, it was a shootout win, and it was actually Curtis Lazar who got the winner. Apparently, it was quite an amazing shot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Freaking cool. Laser.
A laser from Lazar, yeah.
It's a laser.
Nice.
A laser. Pinky finger up to the mouth.
Exactly right. Preseason started last Sunday. I was lucky to get home from... I was away fishing all weekend because it was the close of trout season. And I was lucky to get home in time to actually hear this game.
Fishy.
Didn't catch a lot. Did build up my first... stand for hunting deer, though. That was pretty cool. Anyway, that was a Senators versus the Jets, and it was in Winnipeg, so it was late, so I can get a chance to actually hear the game.
Thank you, Jets, for airing the feed.
I think the most important goal that came out of this game was Bobby Ryan's first goal in the second period.
Oh,
what a snipe.
Which was in and out of the goal so fast that the light didn't come on. But the on-ice official who was down close to the net had his hand going, that was in. That was the only reason that it was actually counted as a goal. And they looked at it in the replay. I was like, yeah, okay. It wasn't just off the post. Well, it was, but it was the back post, not the front one. So that was a big moment just for Bobby Ryan getting his first goal an Ottawa player.
From Carlson and Milo, too.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. What a great combination to have it from.
You got to run, Milo. You got to run. I think he's going to do well this year just with these guys.
Oh, I think so. Yeah. The Robin Leonard played very well in goal. And Andrew Hammond actually played the third period. That's the new goalie for down in Binghamton. So that was fun. And the second game, which was two nights ago.
Actually, going back to that one, Rutkowski. He's a real friggin' deal.
Oh, yeah.
God.
Incredible. I think it's going to be really interesting to see how he and Cody Ceci work out down in Binghamton this year, because they're both, I mean, they're very different, but they're both very good puck-moving guys on the blue line. And Rutkowski is also pretty damn big for a 20-year-old. He's not Buddy Robinson big, but he's big. So I think it's going to be really... really entertaining to watch how he works out with Luke Richardson in Binghamton. I think it'll do him a world of good. Actually, just before we leave game one, Buddy Robinson, who played in the rookie tournament, and the sum total reaction, at least around most people in Ottawa, was who? He's a player who was signed out of Lake Superior State as a free agent. He played 2 years down there. He's 6'5". He's 230 or 240 pounds. He can apparently skate very, very well. And he seems to have a bit of a shot, too. He's got sort of a work in progress. But just another free agent college signing that, at least so far in the preseason, has been able to score a goal in both games. In fact, the first goal in both games.
So he's a foot taller than me, weighs 90 pounds more than me, and is like 13 years younger.
Yes.
Wow.
He's a big boy. He's a very, very big boy. Because he scored the first goal in the game against the Jets, and then he scored the first goal in the game against the Flames in Saskatoon on Monday.
Oh, yeah. Also, before we go back, thank you, Winnipeg Jets, for peer pressuring the Sens to stream the game on their website.
Yeah. Exactly.
I was just listening to it on the radio. I never got around to activating the stream. Right.
So, because it was supposed to be on Rogers, apparently. And then last minute, they took it off. Maybe Rogers just forgot that it wasn't in town. I don't know. But they're like, yeah, no coverage, no coverage. And the Jets were like, well, here's a link. We're going to stream it on our site. So there's a backlash, at least on Twitter. And then half an hour before the game, like, we're going to broadcast it too.
Oh, and it was,
they just like copied the link.
Oh, well, at least it was up.
Yeah. So just out of spite, I watched it on the Jets site.
Nice.
Let them get the hits.
Nice. Well, unfortunately, game two, the one from against the Calgary Flames, played in Saskatoon, there was no video for it anywhere.
No, none
at all. Again, it was an interesting crowd of, it was a 4-2 win, and the goals were from, the first one was Buddy Robinson's second goal of the preseason. Then we had goals from Corey Conacher, Mark Borowiecki, and Clark MacArthur. All of which, you know, good to see goals coming from many different places. This was a bit of a feisty game. There were four fights. Mike Sadeo actually had two. He laid a major, major hit on David Jones in the first period. And suddenly there's Matt Stajan going, I'm going to fight you for that. And Mike Sadeo was, okay. He's a big, strong boy who's got into several fights when he was down in Binghamton late last season, and kind of pummeled Matt Stajan. And, you know, that you wanted to go with me, and all right, there we go. Unfortunately, in the next period, Sadeo had dumped the puck in, and the puck was way down by the goal, and suddenly across comes Brian McGrattan and starts pounding on Mike Sadeo. And Mike Sadeo is a big boy, but he's not a super heavyweight. And he got a little bloodied up from that one. But there was a lot of reaction afterwards going, why should this have even happened? And how many fights? There were a couple of questions on TV and on the radio the next day saying, how many, if somebody, you know, you deliver a clean hit and you have to fight after it, why should you have to fight again after that?
There's the Cowan precedence. If you lay a good hit, you have to have two fights.
That's just Brian McGrattan making sure the league doesn't forget him.
Yeah,
pretty much.
He got into another big scrap the other night against Edmonton too.
That's a natural rivalry, but I mean...
No, he's fighting for his life right now.
Well, he's certainly fighting for a job, literally, not just figuratively. But it was... But it was there was some interesting reaction to that, to be sure. After that game, there were four cuts announced by the team. Vincent Dunn, who we mentioned earlier, has gone back to the Gatineau Olympique.
He's done.
Ben Harper has gone back to the Guelph Storm. And goalies Chris Dreider and François Brassard have been sent back to, respectively, the Calgary Hitmen and the Quebec Ramparts. So, junior players, all junior-eligible players, have been sent back. Curtis Lazar is still with the team, at least for now.
He's going back.
He'll be back. I'm sure he'll be going back eventually.
Take the experience.
Yeah, exactly. Keep him around. I mean, they need to have a lot of bodies for late. They have to have bodies for late in the preseason because the last game/games of the preseason are on the same day, but in two different cities. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's kept until that point and then sent back to junior. I don't think they'll keep him around for the opening game of the regular season. There's going to be enough problems with...
Yeah.
I wouldn't. We have enough trouble with too many bodies on one-way contracts, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah. We'll see how that works out. But
yeah, I totally agree. And I think you can send him back to junior next year too, right?
Yes. It
depends on his birthday?
No, he's only 18. So he'll be 19. He'll be 19 next year. He could go back next year as well.
Okay.
But he signed an entry-level contract yesterday, I think it was. Yes. Yep.
Thanks, JP Barry.
Yeah, all good news. Yeah, for once.
But the other nice part is that we're now down to 5 goalies in camp.
Exactly. So it's a little easier to keep things moving, but not a bad thing. And the next game in the preseason, game 3, will be tomorrow, Thursday the 19th. And that will be... Sorry?
I'm there.
You're there. That's right.
Should be fun.
At the Canadian Tire Center against... I'm wondering when
Stinking Leafs.
Screaming Trees. Against the Screaming Trees. So that's kind of the news from the Senators up to now. There's certainly been a lot of talk going on about who's looking good and who's maybe not looking so good. And we certainly, between the three of us, we've had an awful lot of chit-chat away from the microphones about who's going to be making this team and who's going to be sent down. And a lot of it will have to do with two-way contracts versus one-way contracts and clearing waivers and all that sort of thing. So there's lots to work out before the regular season starts in a couple of weeks. So
There's a couple of things we can talk about right there. Three guys that would have to go through waivers if they're sent down: DaCosta, Hoffman, and Greiba.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Well, I don't see Greiba being sent down.
No. Greiba's going to be the 7th guy, I think. In Hoffman, he's making the team, but I think that's going to be a technicality. Because I think he's going to be the fire underneath Corey Conacher. And one of them's in. So you're in if we win.
Oh.
at least it's on right wing instead of goalie. But
yeah.
So I wouldn't want to send him down on waivers. DaCosta, yeah, get out of here. If someone picks him up, great. I think Bingo kind of needs him, but whatever.
If he makes it back down to Binghamton, he can certainly play down there and be useful down there, but I just don't think there's a space for him up here.
Yeah.
Now they may be able
to... There's younger guys to develop down there anyways, right?
Is there a trade?
Well, there may be a trade. No, you never know.
I would doubt that.
Just for something?
You know what? Jim O'Brien's also... We just re-signed him. We've got nothing committed yet. If you can drop him, just take the contract space. Jim O'Brien's been playing really well.
Now, word on the street with Jimmy O was that, because everybody wondered what happened last year, like whose foot did he step on? Whose wife did he flirt with or whatever to end up in the doghouse? And, of course, this isn't official, but the unofficial word seems to be it was related to his conditioning last season. They weren't happy with where he was at compared to other players. So that's why he kind of rode the press box so much.
Well, it was a little surprising that he was there so much when so many other players were being brought up. So I can't say I'm terribly surprised by that story.
Might have been attitude and things like that. From what we've heard, especially with like Hammer of Justice and all of that stuff, he's still a good team guy. So I guess he's a nice buddy to have around, but then when it comes to work, maybe he just wasn't cutting it.
Exactly. Hard to say.
Hey, no, we skipped over really quickly the captaincy announcement, but I think everybody caught the kind of the interview that happened afterwards with Phillips.
Yeah.
His comments were?
Don Brennan asked that question, which is a brilliant question. Do you have the clip? Or
I don't have the clip. If anyone has the best paraphrase of it, he basically said he was disappointed that he didn't get it. Was hoping for it. But, you know, and then went on. And it wasn't like this overly negative statement. If anything, you know, at face value, it's like, well, of course you're disappointed you didn't get it. I mean, that's natural. But why would you say that? But
because somebody asked the question.
Yeah.
Right. But then you play with the team, right? Because you stand behind your captain.
I think he did after that. He said, oh, yeah, I'm disappointed.
After it, he's like, well, listen, you can reword that, especially with the time that it's not like it was immediately announced and then he turns, right? Because you asked me that, it's like, well, how do you feel about him? Or I think it was Spezza getting it instead of you. Say, listen, Spezza's been here for a long time. He was a number two overall pick. He's our number one center, and he's the youth movement who's been there through the thick and thin as well. So I'm going to stand behind him, and he's our leader in the room.
Yeah, he had a lot of time. Yeah,
you just say that, and then that's it. I'd say, well, I wanted it, but...
Yeah, no, I know you're not really fond of Chris Phillips, but I'm not going to be throwing him under the bus for something like that, for not having
a
rehearsed.
He's a great leader. It's just the bad timing for him. It's a contract year. He's getting older.
I wouldn't know. Not having a rehearsed answer, I don't think is a problem. It was an honest answer. And I mean, he wasn't bitter about it. He's like, no, I'm disappointed, but you know, I'm okay. You know, this is a team thing. And I'm here to support the leader that we have and the role that I have and everything else. I think it was, if anything, I think Chris Phillips' answer was very much in the vein of, to use a comparison, to Daniel Alfredson's answer about Pittsburgh. Yeah, probably not. That's
the truth. Yeah.
It was a very honest answer. It wasn't malicious. It wasn't angry. It wasn't anything else. It was the truth. Yeah, I'm disappointed. Yeah. But, you know, we keep going. I'm not going to sit in the corner and pout. I'm not going to demand a trade. So I didn't get that job, but I still have this one. So off we go. Yeah, well, I'm okay with it.
Speaking of honest answers, did you hear Bobby Ryan about Carlisle today?
No.
Vaguely, and I forget what he said.
Yeah, so basically the media asked him, like, well, because they're playing Toronto tomorrow. Like, mm-hmm. So this is going to be the first time playing against Carlisle. Because they didn't play last year, right? Because Carlisle, there was an East-West thing. Mm-hmm. And so Bobby Ryan just said, well, listen, I know I was really the scapegoat in a lot of things, and he took things out on me a lot, and I probably took it a little bit too personally. It's not like I'm going to shoot the puck at him, though, and, well, we're not going to say hi to each other either.
that's a pretty good answer.
Passive-aggressive answer.
Well, I think it's a smart answer.
Yep.
And again, it's honest. And I mean, he's a little, I don't want to say flamboyant, but I mean, this is the guy who's, you know, within seconds of his trade being announced was coming in hot. And he's been very engaging with the media. He doesn't avoid them, which I'm impressed by, given the fact that, you know, he's been playing in Anaheim behind two really, really big names. Is he a big name? Yes. But he's behind the two superstars, and it's Anaheim.
Yeah.
So the amount of media he actually had to put up with on a regular basis compared to what he's getting, you know, the number of microphones he's having stuck in his face now, he's been pretty, pretty poised and pretty eloquent, to be honest. He doesn't sound like a, you know, your typical 25-year-old, never went to university. And I don't think he did, but I mean, some athletes speak better than others, and he sounds very well spoken. So
you've seen the clip of him out on the streets interviewing people.
Yeah.
That
was funny.
Embarrassing.
Well,
you could do that anywhere.
But really, standing outside a Starbucks in Westboro, Daniel Alfredson could be standing there saying, so what do you think of Daniel Alfredson or Jason Spezza or Chris Phillips or Chris Neal? And the people coming out of Starbucks in Westboro will be going, they play hockey?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. My latte is burning my hand. I have to go. That's Westboro. It's Starbucks in Westboro. If you did it at a Tim Hortons in Canada, they don't know who he was. But it was, I thought it was a little funny at least, because I didn't know what he looked like until I saw that clip. I'll be honest. Anyway. Before we move.
I got one more.
Oh, you got one more.
I should really give you input better when you send these.
When I ask for input, yes.
Yeah. Sure. Another thing about the split squad game, which is the last game. One thing that I learned is in that last game, You have to have at least 8 NHL players on each team.
I think it's actually 8 and 8 players who've played an NHL game.
Okay. So, which sucks, because then you got to send Leonard there. Hopefully they get just a charter, because driving from Owen Sound back to Ottawa is freaking long. And just that ride's going to kill these guys.
Nah, they'll be all right. Most of them are going to be going to bingo anyway.
Well, not the 8, though.
Played an NHL game. Well, you could have Jean-Gabriel Pageau.
You got to send Leonard.
Mike Hoffman. Well,
Hoffman can go.
Hoffman, Jerzynski,
Who's going to play
Stone?
Goal? Oh, I see what you mean.
Well, you got 2 other goalies who are going to Binghamton.
Good point.
I think it's only players who've played a game, at least a game. So, I mean, everybody who's... There'll probably be a couple of guys who are staying in Ottawa who go. But
like Jim O'Brien?
Maybe. But, I mean, there have been a lot of people who've played a game or two. I mean, Stefan DaCosta would fit in that category. Send him. Didn't Corey Kowak play a game? No, he didn't play a game here. Not yet. But, I mean, you can find enough.
We just got to send, like, the scrapes over there. It's
pretty much. Well, I think...
Timing, man.
But both games are against the New York Islanders. So in Ottawa, it'll be Ottawa versus New York. And in Owen Sound, it will be Binghamton versus, I can't think of who the Islanders
Sound AHL Tigers.
Oh, there you go. Be against them. That's all right. I'm sure they'll enjoy it in Owen Sound. So off they go.
Yeah. See, it wouldn't be bad if kind of dumb for the team, but if you do send the charter, send Bobby Ryan there because he played junior in Owen Sound. That'd be kind of nice.
Well, you can't send a jet to Owen Sound. They don't have a runway big enough.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind then.
Small town airports can't handle aircraft of that size. They need a runway longer than that.
Yeah. All right. I'll stop interrupting you now.
Thank you. That's very civil. before we leave the Senators.
Wait. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Can you snappy him? Sneeze, nah, snappy, 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 snap.
Sneeze, nah, snappy, 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 snap. It's like you had your hand on the trigger, too.
Before we leave the Senators and talk about other stuff going on around the league, because there's lots of that, we have an interview with, Canuck, I'll let you set this one up, since you were the one who set it up.
Tonight, we're very thankful to have on the line the DJ from the Ottawa Senators, Alex. Alex, thanks for joining us.
Hey, it's my pleasure, guys.
Great to have you on. I guess you get to work as early as tomorrow night. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you started getting into the DJ world.
Let me rewind to probably it was 1997. I would have been 12, and I probably even earlier than that, I DJed for intramural ball hockey at my grade school and kind of had a bit of a liking for it. So I started doing local tournaments and things like that, like anybody probably would to get started. Worked for 3 years with the University of Ottawa GGs. Jumped in and started with the 67s for 6 years between 99 and 2005, and got very lucky to join my boss at the Sands post 04-05 lockout. So it's been a climb for the last 12-15 years, but it's been a very enjoyable experience for sure.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm guessing you're also obviously a passionate Sens fan as well. Now, how did you get involved with, or how did you become a fan with the Sens?
Growing up in Ottawa wasn't very difficult for me. on my side, my personal, on my side, my grandfather was a big Montreal hater on his side. I hated the Habs out of passion. and only cheered on the Toronto only for the fact that he didn't care for anybody else. So he kind of picked for the second closest geographic team. And then the Sens came in the 90s, and so he was automatically hooked on the Sens. And, you know, me being, you know, very young at the time in 92, I just kind of started watching the games with him when he was sitting me before my parents would get home from work. And I just became a diehard fan since then. And I've been, you know, obviously following them ever since. And just getting the opportunity to work with them really is just a dream come true for, I think, any, you know, major Sens fan.
Absolutely. Now, since you're a big Sens fan and you're a DJ, you can put these two things together as a job that you get. It's a hobby that you actually get paid for. It's the best of both worlds. And I know that you put an awful lot of passion into it because there are certain games where you seem to be a little louder than other games.
That would be true.
Specifically, I have to give full marks to the fact that whenever there's a Leafs game and their fans start get going, I notice the games that I've been at, the music tends to get a little louder.
That's probably just very accidental. I don't see anything happening on purpose there. It's my finger. It must slip once in a while on the board. You know how these things happen. You know you're busy.
Yeah, my finger slips too at Leaf games.
That's good. I like that.
Actually, more with that. Can you tell us a little bit of the background work and how things happen at the games? Because I know you're running sound. I don't know if you're also doing the video board. And you also have to coordinate with, I guess, stuntmans too, and other game entertainment, the dancers and things like that. How does all of that work?
That's a very good question. Listen, behind the scenes, there is a massive production and a massive crew. Just on our side, there's at least 20 people every night, from our video director to replay operators to graphic operators. On our side, in the front of the house side, there's me and there's my audio technician who's there. There's Stu. There's the performers downstairs on a nightly basis, the organist, etc. Everything is called by our game day producer, and you know, he or she chooses at the time, you know, what's coming up next. Are we going to do some music? Would we have a, you know, sponsorship that we need to run, things like that? So you know, obviously we always need someone guiding us along, and you know, we always need to know what's coming up next. It is you know, every game is a lot of fun, but at the same time, like I said earlier, hobby is also a job, and it's also, you know, a production, and we have a lot of things we need to get through on a nightly basis. We have a 7-page document that we go through every night, and we need to basically go through every line to make sure everything, you know, that's committed to that game gets, you know, basically broadcast out to the game.
Cool. So, like, when do you have to start for the pregame then?
Well, I'm going over my game for tomorrow now, and for me, my game will start at 5:30 when gates open.
Oh, wow.
And I usually don't stop till the game's over, so usually around 10:30 at night.
Wow.
It's a busy day.
So do you get to pick out a lot of the music in advance and kind of submit that for, possible candidates? Are you kind of giving carte blanche on that? Because I know that must be a tricky thing to do, because everybody has so many different tastes and you're trying to pick something which, you know, hopefully everybody will get into. That must be hard.
I agree. That's a great point. And as I've, you know, said to a lot of people in the past, I probably have the hardest gig to DJ in town. If you are someone who likes, you know, urban music, you can go to an urban club. If you're a guy or a girl who likes to go to a country, you know, listen to country music, you can, you know, there are places where you can go and listen to country music. Unfortunately, at the Sens and at any kind of sporting events, that's where everybody gets together, and you'll never please anybody, or everybody in this case. And it's not the easiest thing. I know I'm going to get, you know, tweets on a nightly basis saying that my 6-year-old sister could pick better music than me, which it has happened. You know, I don't mind those comments. It's when they become, you know, expletives that I start having a bit of a problem with, you know. But overall, I do my best to try to please a wide variety of demographics that are there, but keeping in mind also that we want to keep the energy up and, you know, let people have a good time while they're there at the same time.
Well, if you ever need a song that mixes kind of urban and country and kind of upbeat and energy, there's always Cotton Eye Joe, right?
Oh, dear. Lord, gentlemen, do we have to get into this one?
That's an old joke that's been flogged to death, I think.
Oh, I trust me. Yeah. I've heard. You can feel free to talk to Stu about that song.
I think you've probably banned it since you've come on, haven't you?
We have now gone 3 complete seasons without a single play. Aiming for 4th and 6th now.
I noticed that it wasn't being played, and I actually celebrated it at every game that I've been at. It's been nice to not hear it.
I celebrated the last home game of every season as that marks the anniversary of another complete year without the playing of that song. It's a great moment for me and my family.
So, kind of backing up from the work that you do as a DJ, what would you say would be your kind of favorite Sens moment that you've had on the job?
You know, I've had a lot of great moments in that building, you know, not just Sens, you know, with the, you know, World Juniors and the All-Star Game, things like that. They're all very special, special moments. If I had to pick just one moment over the last 9 seasons that I've been there, it would have to be, in my eyes, the Stanley Cup final run. I don't think I've ever seen a city so passionate about their hockey team, and I really think the Sens fan base took a big turn that year and, you know, really came into their own about how to support the team. And, you know, as a fan myself, you know, I felt it and I lived it, and it was one of the best moments I think we've ever had as the fan base for this organization.
Good choice. Always a strong one. Yeah. Before we let you go, one quick question, or 2 quick questions, actually. Sure. You've been keeping the goal song under wraps. I know I've been watching you get a lot of questions about it. Is there any other info that you can tell us about any other particular songs that are coming up, or have you put together a new warm-up mix or anything like that? And the other quick question was, how can fans be in contact with you? Because you were saying that you sometimes get feedback. How can people be in contact with you if they want to be?
Well, Goal Song has been selected. We had 4 songs that were shortlisted this summer. We put it to a vote between me and 3 other staff members. The choice was unanimous, so we're very confident that the fans are really, really going to enjoy this one. I personally am very proud of it myself. I just finished cutting it a couple days ago, and we're going to unveil it tomorrow and for the whole preseason and then going into the season. So I'm very proud of that. We have a new warm-up mix that I finished last night. Again, very proud of that. A lot of great input from fans that I've gotten via Twitter and Facebook, so I'm very proud of that mix as well. And, you know, all at the same time, sometimes we get a few player inputs, so that's always very useful for us. And, that's basically it. And, how to get in touch with me, like I said, I always appreciate the feedback, and I always like to hear from people. And, you know, I can't hear every song in the world. There's way too many. So if anybody ever hears a good song, feel free to, you know, tweet me at Senators DJ, all one word, and, I'll gladly take a listen to any song that's sent to me, unless it's Cotton Eye Joe.
I'm just happy it's not the Nickelback versus Britney Spears thing that you had a couple of years ago.
Wow. Spears versus Nickelback. The classics that come out, eh? Yeah.
I'm sure that wasn't you that made that decision.
It's probably a blur now. It would be if I was doing it.
I can't even. To be honest with you, I'm just kind of like talking on my bum right now. I don't even remember it.
well, thank you so much for coming on, Alex. I appreciate your time.
Tomorrow, can you play Baltimore about 4 times in a row?
I can play it once. I can't play it four times in a row. You'd be pushing it.
No, I want to hear the goal song about nine times tomorrow night over the evening, hopefully. So that's what we're hoping for, right?
No, I'd love to hear it quite a few times, like I said, but I think any time you just hear the horn go off against the Leafs, I think makes everybody feel pretty good, eh?
That's right.
Exactly right.
Yeah, so it should be a great season. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm very excited about this year. And I think the fans are going to be outstanding again this year with a great team coming up.
Great. Well, thanks again, Alex. Have a good night.
Thanks, guys.
As much as Ottawa fans love to make fun of the Toronto Maple Leafs, sometimes we can actually do this one step removed from the actual thing, because some stories just keep repeating themselves and they don't get old when they keep repeating themselves. A couple of weeks ago, Brian Burke was in Calgary and is now the president of hockey operations for the Calgary Flames, which means that Jay Feaster, the GM, reports to him. Now... It's been really interesting to hear him say, well, I don't want to be the voice of the franchise and I'm here to work with Jay. But there have been a couple of interviews with Jay Feaster after that. One I heard last week where he was saying that Brian Burke came out and said, well, what do you think of this guy? And Jay Feaster said, well, I like him. I don't. Okay, so I guess that's the end of the discussion on that guy. Let's move on.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that was Jay Feaster telling that story.
Remember how I can't remember his name, but the Leaf goalie just quit. He's like, there's too many cooks in the kitchen. This is the same thing.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Not the goalie coach.
Oh, the one who didn't want to work for Carlisle.
Yeah, because he's like, apparently everyone's got their opinion, so I'm out.
Yeah, I can't remember who that was, but that was a pretty, that wasn't exactly an amicable separation.
François Lyre, that's it.
François Lyre, exactly. Well done. Yeah. The big question is, now that Brian Burke's in Calgary, Brian Lowe is still in Edmonton. So someone going to go up to, isn't it Red Deer that's halfway between the two of them?
Yep.
Going to go rent a barn there? Maybe have a little barn fight? All that was threatened about years ago? I want to see that happen.
No one, those two, they probably sit down and have a beer together and they're buddy-buddy until the cameras are on.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
This is the same way that Jay Feaster got in with the Flames.
Yeah, I don't think so. Anyway, I'm still amused by, he's saying all the right things and then a day later he's back to his usual, I'm going to be doing this and I'm going to be doing that and... What a train wreck that franchise is going to be, because they've got no prospects. They've got virtually no players on their team because they traded them all away for draft picks that won't be ready for several years.
I don't even think they're going to be that good either.
No, they didn't draft very well, I seem to recall.
Yeah. They did some weird stuff. They needed a goalie, and they kept passing on the guy from Halifax.
Mm-hmm.
And then Montreal got him. Like,
well,
they don't even need him. But
they'll trade a first and a second a couple of years from now for him.
Yeah, I think it was in the Bomeister. It was either the Bomeister trade or the Aginla trade, where they're like, "Well, we got this Swedish goalie." It's like, and he's at camp now, but it's like that's not going to help you.
Yeah, their camp is 4 second-string goalies right now.
Yeah.
So it's not good.
Giddy up, Calgary, because it's going to be tough.
Oh, it's going to be messy. They could sign Jose Theodore. He's sitting in Florida without a contract. The Panthers offered him a PTO, and he said, no. I'll play when I get a contract. I'm not going in on a PTO. Meanwhile, Tim Thomas is down there. Let's talk. There's a good segue into the Florida Panthers. Okay.
He's back.
So Tim Thomas is down there on a PTO. He passed passed his medical, apparently.
At least someone shows up to Florida.
Wow. Yeah. They're apparently they might be sold soon, but it's really a real estate deal that happens to involve a hockey team. It's not a sale of the hockey team. It's just a real estate deal, because I found there was a lot of talk over the, you know, over the summer and so on about them maybe being a team that needs to move because they're not getting anybody in the seats. Turns out it doesn't really matter, because the team owns so much of the real estate around, or the organization, I should say, owns so much of the real estate around the arena that, you know, getting people ticket money really is a bonus as far as running that team.
Well, are you familiar with that area?
Well, yeah, because Florida real estate is fantastic.
No, but well, have you been there?
It's all commercial real estate.
It's a big Sawgrass Mills shopping center. It's a big outlet mall, outlet mall.
Yeah, they own that apparently. Ugh. And some of the other stuff around there as well.
So instead of holding a purse, you just go and pick up a hockey game? Is that what the business model is?
I don't know. It's very different. So they're not hurting for money, even though they're, you know, they may not have bums in the seats. The team isn't hurting for money. I mean, it's not rolling in it like, you know, New York or Montreal or Toronto, but they're not pulling any money in at all kind of team.
So this is what Melnick was trying to do here then?
Maybe so, yeah. Add some extra revenue with something like that.
Which, by the way, I don't see this on our outline, but, and I know we talked about this a bit, but one thing that I didn't mention, I don't think we mentioned before, is all this talk about a casino. Well, whether the city needs another casino or not, I mean, who cares? Whatever. But it wasn't just the casino. Is that on the property they're going to have, you know, hotels and retail and, you know, restaurants and that sort of thing. And that's exactly the kind of thing that all of us are complaining about. The location of the current arena and the state of the parking lot. They're going to have parking garages, and it would have turned into the, I would hope, much closer, the kind of atmosphere we'd really like to have there. And this city? Nope.
I don't know. Kanata Centrum's pretty neat. It's right there.
Oh, Kanata Centrum is brutal.
What?
It's a box store mall. You can't actually walk from one store to another. You have to drive. And it's the worst laid out box store mall in the universe.
It's a silly...
The roads don't go anywhere.
Other cities do this too. I don't know why up in Canada, especially these climates, they put in this kind of California mall model, which, you know, you think about it, it's a suburb. So you're there as a family. Say you're there and you have young kids or something that, you know, you have to put in baby seats and stuff. So, okay, you park in front of the Walmart and, oh, we just need to go over here to this store. But, oh, well, I got to put them all back in the car and drive over there because there's no way to walk over there easily without cutting through a whole parking lot. So,
and it's 800 meters.
And it's in the wintertime.
You want to go over to that store.
Yeah. I guess CB Inc. Yeah. was right.
Oh.
We're talking about Ottawa too much.
Oh.
So you, no one's going to understand what we're talking about, Kanata Centrum.
He might be right. Sorry about that.
Anyways, bro. Yeah. So
anyway,
we derailed about four times there. Yeah.
But there's no nudity. Florida. Just to be clear. Well, that I know of.
Hmm?
What?
He said there's nudity in our show.
That might have been me taking my pants off for rewind. Yes. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
I hope that's it. Otherwise, I don't know what YouTube been up to.
We don't need to know any more about that than that. No. There was a preseason game in Florida. I think it was this past Monday. And if memory serves, they had it at 2:00 in the afternoon.
That's
on a Monday in Florida. And somebody snapped a picture. I think it was from up in the press box. I don't know if you've seen this on Twitter.
Yeah.
There are more people on the ice and the benches than in the stands. Literally. Not figuratively. There might have been, I actually stood, looked at the picture. It's not a great picture, but I think I counted 40 fans in the stands.
It's basically the turnout of the Spezza rally.
Mm-hmm. But it's a real preseason game. The picture is actually when the anthem was being sung, and the anthem singer was out on the little piece of red carpet, and the teams were lined up on the blue lines, et cetera, et cetera.
It was embarrassing.
Oh, brutal.
Yeah.
Just brutal.
Now, a lot of people have been like clamming on that, saying, well, it's like it's a Monday afternoon, but the reason that the teams were put in Florida was for the snowbirds.
Well,
so they're retired, and dinner's at 4:00.
But there aren't any snowbirds there in September.
Uh-oh, I guess.
And there was actually an interview with, who's the GM of Florida? Dale Talon. interview with him recently. He's tickled pink with the new divisional lineup. He's in the same division as four original six teams. So that's, some of them will be there twice. Some of them will be there three times. Plus all the Canadian teams will be there two or three times. That's a lot of games of with away teams that are going to draw a lot of fans into his building.
That's a very good point. I didn't even think of that.
Yep.
So maybe that's why they're with us. Just keep the thing alive.
Could well be. Tampa as well. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, Tampa.
Oh, that's neat. But you know what I think why Tim Thomas decided to go to Florida, besides the fact that they're terrible?
It's easy to build himself a new bunker because the entire state's made out of sand?
Yeah, pretty much. So
no? Okay.
There's that. Well, that versus Calgary, which like you can just walk in and get a job. I'm pretty sure I can get one too there. That might be a little too young for them though. But income tax in Florida.
Yeah, there isn't any.
There's none. So being as far right as he is politically, there's a perfect spot for him.
Well, could be.
So yeah.
Could be.
They better have written into his contract a just shut the hell up clause in there.
Exactly.
So otherwise,
stay off Twitter, stay off Facebook, and we'll pay you money. Yeah, it could be. We'll have to see about that one. You were the one who came up with, you wanted to talk about ticket prices in California. You asked me to put this into our outline. I wasn't really sure where you wanted to go with this. So
sure. So
I'll hand that one over to you.
Yeah, basically. So my peer pressure worked on Canuck, Cardinals, tougher sell. not to call you loose Canuck, but I think the timing just worked out. So Canuck and I will be going because I've got nothing better to do with my time and worked out with Canuck's schedule. So we're going to go down and visit California for the road trip.
Woo-hoo.
So really, really, really looking forward to that. And I still got to figure out my first couple of days there. But yeah, it's fun going with Canuck because he travels so much. It's I just sent him an email. He's like, all right, everything's booked. Sweet. So yeah, we'll be meeting up with Kathy and TJ when we're down there. So that'll be nice to see people. But the ticket prices that we've gotten, TJ just tweeted us back today for San Jose, and I think these are like right behind the net. That's what I understood.
Yeah, but what, equivalent to our 300 level.
Oh, is it 300?
Yeah,
okay.
It's, so those are 40 200 bucks. There, but
yeah. So those are 40 bucks. We went secondary market for the LA and Anaheim games. LA, so about the same area that I sit in at Scotia or Canadian Tire Center. Those in LA are about $21. And in Anaheim, it's $24.
And where Pan sits is the front row of the 300s.
Yeah.
Just for people who don't know that.
Oh, yeah. I've mentioned that many times.
$20?
Yep.
Third row.
All in.
Wow.
All in.
So one of the platinum games, which this year are, of course, Toronto, Montreal, and Detroit. Those tickets are about $80 plus fees for my seats. So one game against the Leafs or three games in California. I don't know how that's sustainable.
Wow. That's just mind blowing. I didn't realize it was quite that much of a differential. But if that's the case, and I mean this in all seriousness, if these teams are selling their tickets for so much less than what the Ottawa Senators are, and we have one of the bigger buildings in the league, and it's filled to 95 plus capacity on average, how do these teams get more revenue than we do? To spend to the cap every time with way lower ticket prices, where does their income come from?
I have no idea.
They don't own the building. A lot of them are municipally owned.
You know what? They don't have to pay for the building. That's what the difference is.
But they have to pay rent into it.
You pay rent, but then you get to share your concessions. So I think
Scotiabank Police gets all of them. Here, Melnick gets a share of the concessions too because he owns the building.
No, I know. But I would rather not own the building and get a share of concessions. Because the building alone is like, $200 million, something like that.
Mm-hmm. True.
And so he's paying an appreciating asset too.
And he's paying a mortgage on it, granted, but he's also getting all the, you know, the money that would be otherwise paid into renting it. He doesn't pay. Well, he pays it to himself from right. one column to another.
Yeah.
But plus he gets all the parking revenue because he owns all the land.
That might be HRR.
Well, yeah, that's a good question, whether all the building operation money is hockey-related revenue or not.
Yeah, where there's cuts probably with the building, with the other teams. I don't know. There's got to be some ancillaries in there.
Yeah.
I guess once I pay at concessions to get my hot dog and Coke Zero, I'll let you know. Because that might be a difference, but who knows?
Maybe so. Yeah, it's just one of those things that when you first brought this up, it was making me think, well, how do all these teams with these lower ticket prices, how do they spend to the cap without being awash in red ink? It doesn't, there's got to be some major difference. Corporate taxes? I don't know. Somebody out there might know. If you do, please email us at podcast@sendscallups.com. I'd really, really like to know this because if, With the ticket prices, and I mean, Ottawa ticket prices are cheaper than Montreal or Toronto. And I mean, Montreal and Toronto are floating in money, but they have a lot of other revenue streams.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's one television deal for the NHL with, you know, with NBC in the U.S. So unless they have extra television deals, which, I mean, I can't imagine the LA Kings get that much television, like local television coverage compared to the Lakers. And I just forgot the other basketball team that's in there.
Clippers. But, I mean,
thank you. The Clippers. Plus, you know, everything else that goes on. I just can't see it. So how do these teams survive? How do they make their money to make payroll? Anyway, yeah. I don't want to go on about it any further, but it's one of those questions that I'd really love to have an answer to.
Homer probably has it.
Bring it.
Yeah, please.
We won't necessarily read an entire spreadsheet email, but we will summarize it. But if you send it as a spreadsheet, we'll summarize it because it is a very, very good question. When everything was going on with Jared Cowan not getting signed, there were a number of other RFAs that were still holding out, and they kind of came as a bit of a flood just before training camp opened, or just as training camp opened for Jared Cowan. And some of them have been long-term deals, and some of them have been short-term deals. Nazem Kadri signed a 2-year deal. Alex Pietrangelo signed a 7-year deal at an average cap hit of $6.5 million. And Cody Hodgson in Buffalo signed a 6-year deal with an average cap hit of 4.25. It's pretty big numbers. The two big names that are outstanding right now are Cody Franson in Toronto and Derek Stepan in New York. And Cody Franson, I've been watching Toronto paint themselves into a corner all summer. And after signing the Kadri deal, they've got less than $3 million in total cap hit left for this year.
And they still just short of two.
Was it just short of two now? Okay, thank you. They still have to sign Cody Franson and still have some money left over if they want to make a trade, especially pick anybody up at the deadline. And when you look at the number of players that they signed earlier this year, they signed a number of them, and none of the contracts were particularly ridiculous. Possibly the David Clarkson one, might argue, but a lot of the other ones. But I just don't understand why they wouldn't have got the two players who they really wanted. I don't want to say the most, but some of the most important players to sign this year, Kadri and Franson. Why didn't they get them done first instead of suddenly going, well, we don't have enough money, so we have to get you to take a low number for a couple of years till we get ourselves out of this because hopefully the cap's going to go up.
Oh, there are RFAs also, so the team controls their destiny.
Well, yes, but they still have to sign them.
Yeah, but then you can just go out and figure out what you want with your UFAs and then push these guys around like what they're doing with Franzen. They're probably going to trade them. Or let them wait. They don't care. They're heartless over there.
Possibly.
You know what drives me nuts about, I guess, the cap and everything else?
Do tell.
Right now, there are six teams over cap space.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Philly's going to drop out of that because Pronger's going to fall to long-term and drops off the cap completely.
That's right.
But then, of course, Detroit is over the most, followed by Philly. Bruins are over. Penguins are over. Sharks are over. And LA Kings are just a bit over. That's not fair to me.
Well, they have to be under it by the first game
October
of the season.
October 1, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
So Philly doesn't have a problem, which is shocking because you'd think they would. I guess that's what $3 million for two goalies gets you.
as long as they work out.
Oh, I think they'll be fine. It's because it's what Emery and who?
Steve Mason.
They'll figure it out. Winning you're in, so that works.
Oh, yes. Sorry, I'll let you finish your comment about Philadelphia, but I want to come back to winning you're in.
No, that's all I've got.
Okay. I don't know if you heard this. It was about 2 weeks ago now that Randy Carlyle was asked about, well, how are you going to make a decision about between your two goalies? You have your number one goalie from last year, and you have this new guy who's coming in who's supposed to be your number one. And he actually said on TSN Radio in Toronto, well, it'll be winning you're in. No. That's not a fail. That's entertainment. I think that's absolute gold. Because obviously, he doesn't know anything about what happened here with Gerber and Emery and John Paddock.
Yes, so
he's going to make the same mistake over again.
Gerber and Emery.
Win and you're in.
Okay, keep going.
Well, he's going to make the same mistake over again.
LeClaire and Elliott.
That too.
Rhodes and Tugnutt. Tugnutt Lalime.
Exactly. It's going to be brilliant. How many times does another team have to make this mistake before somebody realizes it just doesn't work?
No, you know what's going to happen? Jonathan Bernier is just going to keep winning. I still don't know why they made that trade. Reimer was not the issue.
They made that trade because they wanted something else. I don't think Reimer's was the problem either. Certainly not in Game 7.
No.
3 goals in 9 minutes isn't the guy in the blue paint. It's the five others in front of him. But I can't wait to see how this comes back to just completely fall apart. As two goalies just get absolutely ruined going, I have to win, I have to win, I have to overplay everything because otherwise I won't get to play.
And it's going to fall apart.
Well,
it always does.
It's under pressure too. That's a lot of pressure in Toronto.
Exactly. And we know it's going to fall apart. That's why I think this is going to be so entertaining. Well, do you think it's going to work?
No. Never does. But in our experience, it was never the goalie's fault.
Exactly.
Well, I don't know. There's that one time where Alicia Cuthbert looked up at Reimer's wife there.
That was awesome.
The old eye roll.
Yeah. Oh, well, I just think it's going to be hilarious to watch. And as funny as it's going to be to watch the team flounder, I think it'll be even funnier to watch the fans just go absolutely ballistic over, because they'll freak out after a loss and say, oh, you got to change them, and then realize this isn't working, and then they won't know what to do, but they'll be trying to point their finger at somebody.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be gold. It's going to be absolutely brilliant. I can't wait. I just can't wait.
I kind of did the Price is Right horn fail sound effect. And I'm trying to thinking, well, no, you got a good point here. It's actually entertainment. So I'm trying to think, well, what would be appropriate? And I was thinking maybe something like this.
Spanish flea.
That'll work, right? Winning her in, boys.
and the loser can dance. Oh, yeah, that could be fun. I'm all over that. It's going to be hysterical to watch. I'm looking forward to it. It can start tomorrow. Because, you know, one of them is going to be playing. So hopefully they'll get lit up early. It'll be fun.
Can't wait to hear that goal song.
Exactly. Should be fun. Make sure you tweet it, whatever it is, right away.
Well, it'll be on TV. We get on TSN tomorrow.
Ooh. Oh, it's because we're playing the Leafs, right? Oh. on the Toronto Sports Network.
Yeah. Speaking of getting lit up, apparently Vancouver is getting lit up right now, and Luongo's in net.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What's really?
Yeah.
I'm trying to find it because it was just Twitter traffic. And you know how that goes.
TSN app's been garbage on the phone.
Preseason has been garbage right now for coverage.
It's really hard to find anything in the preseason, even a box score.
Oilers score 4 on Luongo in the first.
Oh, the Oilers.
Yeah, Oilers are going to be good, though.
Well, they could be. I don't think the Oilers will be able to score. I have no doubt about that. It's whether they can stop being scored on. That's going to be the problem.
I think Ferentz is going to help them a lot, though.
Yep. No, true enough. I think they'll be better than they were.
Freaking Eberle's got 3 points.
Wow.
Team Canada, here he comes.
4-1.
Oh, that's gold.
Oops.
What?
Well, did you see the Torts press conference the other day when somebody's phone started ringing?
Oh, yeah. I heard about this. I didn't see it.
Oh, he didn't trip out, but he just sort of looked and went, yeah, okay. Yeah, if this is going to happen,
he was annoyed.
Yeah, he was annoyed. He didn't start to, it wasn't pulling a, what's the name of the guy
Brooksy.
Yeah, he didn't go quite that far, but he was okay, this isn't going to happen. Because if this is going to happen, then I'm going to walk out and blah, 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 blah. So he was certainly annoyed by the whole thing, but he didn't trip out on it. But, oh man, that could be fun in Vancouver too. I mean, Vancouver's going to be fun to watch anyway because they have to re-sign the Sedins, which will be good.
They're already talking though. They're smart.
Oh, yes. No, I they should be. Believe me, they should be. But
yeah, after what we saw, they should be, yeah.
Because it's the same agent, exactly. And I think that Brian Murray should be talking about a Chris Phillips extension now, if he wants to do it.
Yes.
Do not leave it until after the season. If he doesn't want to re-sign him, well, fine. Don't. But experience has shown that this is a bad idea. Anything else you want to talk about around the league? I didn't have too much else. We have a couple of...
I've got nothing else.
Okay. Canuck, we had one email, which I had you down to read.
Yes, we got an email from Landfill. Hey guys, last season, Cardinal mentioned how the Sens seemed to play more afternoon games compared to the Scabs and the Screaming Trees. So I did a bit of comparison for this season. This is going to be kind of spreadsheety, isn't it? I'll try to keep it quick. Montreal's 25 Saturday games. Toronto has 23 Saturday games. Ottawa has 19 Saturday games. It's okay. Montreal and Toronto are the most. So Montreal, 24 of them out of 25 are in the evening. Toronto, where is it? All in the evening. All of Toronto's games are in the evening and at 7 p.m. except for the one they play in Vancouver. And Ottawa, the 19 Saturday games, only, where is it? 11 of them are away, 8 at home, 3 Saturday night home games. Both of them are versus two Toronto, one Boston. Anyway, I don't want to read it all off because it's going to be like our famous mistake of reading a spreadsheet, but I think you got where this is going, right? Speaks volumes, doesn't it? So Landfill also posted this in the forums. If you want to see the full analysis, I do recommend you go and look at it because the numbers do kind of speak for themselves. But I'm not surprised. They're totally pandering to the market. I will say this, though. As much as I want to get upset at that, being a half-season ticket holder, having a family, and I'm actually kind of liking those afternoon games now. So... whatever.
Yeah. Because, well, you've got a 7-year-old and a 10-year-old, right? So
8 and 10,
perfect,
yeah.
Perfect. Or 8 and 10, yeah. That's perfect for you. To bring the kids with you? That's great. Side question in regards to this, though. Go ahead first. Keep going. Then I'm going to punch holes in it.
Tell you.
No? Cardinal, you had anything? No?
I was simply going to say that I can certainly see your point on that, but the thing that bugs me about it is not the number, the total number of Saturday night games. It's the fact that Ottawa has 3 at home, and they're against Toronto and Boston. And what do you bet those are the only 3 that will be on Hockey Night in Canada?
Well, they will have the away games in Toronto and Montreal too, though.
But that's it. So we're either playing Toronto in Toronto, we're playing Toronto here, or we're playing Montreal in Montreal. That's the only times that they'll be on Hockey Night in Canada.
Melnick actually prefers that too because he knows that he's going to sell out the Montreal and Toronto games. So he'd rather have those at home during the week. Granted, he didn't get the Toronto ones, but the 2 Montreal ones, unless we're playing them 3 times. So that way, if he can get the filler teams in, I think Florida, we're playing them once on a Saturday and an afternoon game. So he'll know that he'll be able to sell more tickets to the families. And that'll be one of the bronze games or whatever it is, bronze or silver. So the prices will be a little bit lower.
Yeah,
so
now we'll get just more that way. Platinum and regular.
Yeah. Freaking Detroit.
There are only 2 levels this year? They're not 3?
Just 2.
Yeah, he just did 2.
Oh, okay.
So I think that's probably part of it where the Sens are okay with it. But last year, I remember Winnipeg played in Winnipeg 3 p.m. start on the Saturday. And then the next day they played here at 2.
Ouch.
So they had less than 1 day between start times. And they just looked gassed.
Well, they also had 2 hours worth of flying time and an hour time change, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly. So it was just... Sorry, no, it was a 7 o'clock game because they played the Leafs. So it was 7 o'clock on Saturday and then a 2 p.m. game on the Sunday. So it's like 12 hours, I think, between start and or stop and start. So they were gassed and just got killed in that game. The Jets missed the playoffs by 4 points. So these are games that could have put them into a... If you balance out the schedule into a more fair situation.
Exactly. And the schedule is balanced very much towards, well, Toronto plays every game at 7 o'clock.
Yep.
Except 1.
At 6.
Yeah, at 6.
Pacific.
And if that's not an advantage, what is?
And we've been accused of whining about the CBC bias in terms of the way they call the game. Just look at these numbers, like Montreal and Toronto, 23 and 24 home, Saturday, 23-24 home, or I said it again, Saturday night games. So, and Saturday night is the Hockey Night in Canada. That's the prime time thing. And Ottawa has 3.
Yeah. Well, we'll probably get the local coverage anyway on whoever else we're playing. I think the other reason is that CBC is trying to do the triple headers.
That's fine, but what's wrong with Toronto playing at 2 o'clock in the afternoon?
I know, but well, you know what it is. Who owns? No, I just hit something wrong on my computer here. Who owns the Leafs?
Well, now it's 75% is split between Rogers and Bell.
Okay, who?
But it's always been this way,
right? Okay, sure. So it's Rogers and Bell. Who sponsors the Montreal Stadium?
Bell.
I'll tell you who owns the Leafs. The Boston Bruins.
So I'm just going to borrow, I think it's TJ's tinfoil hat. Is it TJ that has that?
Yes.
Yeah. He's going to wear that, right?
I hope so. So I've looked this up. This is CBC's last year of their TV contract.
Yes.
Do you think they're milking it for as much as they can? Because you know Sportsnet and TSN. Once that comes up, they already stole their song. Why would Rogers and Bell not want Hockey Night in Canada on TSN and Sportsnet?
Well, as long as they could figure out a way to balance it 1 week on one, 1 week on another. They're not going to play two games at the same time.
Well, that would viewership. You just do regional coverage, right? But if CBC's contract is done with the league, why would you, being Rogers or Bell, why would you want the competition to get those TV contracts with all the advertising?
Oh, no, you'd want it. But what I'm saying is if Rogers and Bell actually do get the contract and split it, they're not both going to have a Saturday night at 7 game because it'll split viewership. They want a national audience.
Okay, well, I don't know. I think this is probably the end of CBC.
Could be.
So, that's my tinfoil hat moment.
But that would mean we wouldn't have to listen to Glenn Healy anymore, right?
Yep. So if CBC, if you're listening to this, get rid of Healy. I'm back on board.
And Bob Cole.
They're using Jim Houston now anyway, so I'm okay with that. Dean Brown does a local coverage, so.
That's only on Rogers, though.
That's or if Sportsnet. They have to split. Or if they have to split. If Toronto, Montreal, and Ottawa play at the same time, they're
Dean Brown. We'll get Bob Cole.
He'll retire. Just give him a golden parachute when he's out.
Harry Neal is back in Toronto doing Leafs TV games.
Oh, crap.
So that's where Bob Cole can go.
Bye.
Leafs TV. Bye. See ya. Anyway.
As that's my take on that email.
It's an interesting concept. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying you're wrong at all. I got nothing else. You guys have anything else you want to talk about? I've run out of things to talk about for tonight. Okay.
I can't wait for there to be live games to talk about. Well, how do we stretch this out for so long as we do? But.
Well, because we work on it. We go off topic a lot and talk about things like Canada Centrum. That's how we do it.
Yep.
Well, a couple of quick reminders. Please email us at podcast@sensecallups.com if you have things that we've said that have... You're sure that we're right or we're wrong or whatever. Things you want us to talk about, things you want our opinion on, because apparently our opinion's valid. Mine isn't, but okay. Thank you. Visit the forums and join the conversations at sensunderground.com. The threads are starting to pick up. It's preseason, so there's not a huge viewing audience for the games yet, but it's good to see some of the familiar faces show up there. Follow and interact with us on Twitter. And just before we go, I had one question, which I'll put out on Twitter tomorrow, but I'm going to put out on the podcast tonight as well. I'd like our listeners to let us know if you've got a new sweater this year. What sweater is it? Did you get a red one? Did you get a white one? Did you get a Heritage jersey? And what name is going to be on it? If it's not, if it's blank or if it's been customized for a player. This isn't a prize. This isn't a contest. It's more of a survey. I just want to see which sweaters people have been buying. And what name are you putting on the back? Is it Carlson? Is it Ryan? Cowan? Mathot? Weirkosh? MacArthur? Zabinajad?
Jim O'Brien.
Bobby Butler. Sorry, Stewie.
At least he gets to pull the Corvo out again.
There you go. Exactly. There you go. Anybody's got an old Corvo jersey. You're going to be wearing that one. I got a new Heritage sweater because... I wanted a new sweater because several of mine have been retired because the player that they were customized for is no longer on the team. So
did I not badger you into buying that too?
Slightly. I was pretty keen on buying it. So I have a new Heritage sweater with Mark Mathot on the back. Pan, which two did you get? I know you got two.
Yeah, so I got the red Mark Mathot so that we wouldn't be twinsies because that's just weird.
It would be.
Actually, we would be like twins.
You would not be able to tell the two apart.
Well, no, twins like the movie.
Yeah.
I'm not that wide, though. And you're not that wide, so.
Not yet. So I got that one, and I got a Heritage Ryan because I took my other two and threw them in the dryer.
Oh, that's right, yes.
Yeah.
Indeed. So let us know. You can let us know via Twitter. You can let us know via email. I'm just curious. If people are buying new sweaters,
We'll do another forum thread just for that, too, just to clean that up, too.
Indeed.
Why not?
Canuck, did you get another one? Or are you sticking with your lookalike jersey?
I want to pick up a red Ryan jersey.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Oh, yeah, but that's because we're going down to Anaheim.
I'd like to get it in advance of Anaheim, definitely. And also the red, because the other red jersey I have, the only one, is with player number 11. So get a new one.
Okay. Switch it up for Heatley and wear that in San Jose.
Although I saw a great thing that somebody did is they took their Alfredson 11 jersey and they kind of turned the first one into a four and then changed Alfredson into Anderson.
So. Yeah, they kind of put tape over most of the A and anything between A and N and sort of hand wrote it on.
Yeah, it was obvious that it was kind of like a, you know, cross off and fix kind of thing.
It was a bodge job, but hey, I'll give them credit for it. It's clever. It's unique. All right, let's get out of here. We'll be back. We're not sure when we'll be back. We'll be back in a little while.
Thanks again, Alex, for the interview.
Indeed. Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to hearing what the new goal song is tomorrow. And
it's certainly game day by the time this comes out.
Okay, so it'll be today. Fine.
No, it's game day.
Game on.
Game on!
Oh, he's asleep at the switch. That's fine.
For once, finally.
All right. Until next time. Yeah, that's right. We're not doing train horns tonight. Until next time, good night. We'll be talking to you soon.
So Thursday, September 19th is International Talk Like a Pirate Day. So here we go. What is a pirate's favorite letter of the alphabet?
R,
you'd think so, but it'd be the C.
Oi.
Boom, 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 boom.
Dog goes woof, cat goes meow, bird goes tweet, and mouse goes squeak. Cow goes moo, frog goes croak, and the elephant goes toot. Ducks say quack, and fish go blub, and the seal goes ow, ow, ow. But there's one sound that no one knows. What does the fox say? Chasing mice and digging holes, tiny paws up the hill. Suddenly you're standing still. Your fur is red, so beautiful, like an angel in disguise. But if you meet a friendly horse, Will you communicate by Morse? How will you speak to that? What does the frog say? The fuck.